God is so good, and we can testify His goodness in our lives in every situation. We know that God is so faithful and is real in our lives. And I hope that this morning you can agree with me that God is good. And is good all the time. Amen? All the time is good. The psalmist David says that he will praise God in all times. This is what David says in Psalm 34. So this morning I will share with you a message that has to do with the psalmist David in a very particular moment of his life. So I will encourage you to open your Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 23 from verse 1 to 14. It's a long reading, but I pray that God will help us to understand the situation where David was in this moment. Just to let you know, it's a moment of difficulty for David. He was called by God to become the king of Israel, and just a few months after, is a fugitive, is somebody that is persecuted because he achieved a great accomplishment, defining the giant Goliath. And I know that in this moment of his life, he went through these difficult times, but he took this time to grow spiritually. And I pray that we will understand the blessing that we have, that when we are going through difficult times, is an opportunity for us to grow spiritually and to connect more with our living Father. Amen? So let's read from 1 Samuel chapter 23 from verse 1. Now they told David, "Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are robbing and the threshing floors. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, 'Shall I go and attack these Philistines?' And the Lord said to David, 'Go and attack the Philistines and thus save Keilah.' But David's men said to him, 'Behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?' And then David inquired of the Lord again. And the Lord answered him, 'Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into your hands.' And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their livestock and struck them with a great blow. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, had fled to David to Keilah, he had come down with an ephod in his hand. Now it was told Saul that David had come to Keilah. And Saul said, 'God has given him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars.' And Saul summoned all the people to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul was plotting harm against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, 'Bring the ephod here.' And then David said, 'O Lord, the God of Israel, your servant has surely heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hands? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord, the God of Israel, please tell your servant.' And the Lord said, 'He will come down.' Then David said, 'Will the men of Keilah surrender me and my men into the hand of Saul?' And the Lord said, 'They will surrender you.' And then David and his men, who were about 600, arose and departed from Keilah, and they went wherever they could go. And when Saul was told that David has escaped from Keilah, he gave up the expedition. And David remained in the strongholds in the wilderness, in the hill country of the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day." But listen to this last sentence. "But God did not give him into his hands." Praise God for his word. As I was saying before, David is finding himself under the persecution of his father-in-law, King Saul. There is no doubt that the persecution David was experiencing from King Saul greatly affected the life of David. Think one moment. David had this man, his father-in-law, persecuting him. But Saul was not just the father-in-law. He was also the father of his best friend, Jonathan. So try to imagine somebody that theoretically should love you, should respect you, was the one that was the most enemy of David. So this affected his emotions so much. And if you go in the book of Psalms, you find that David wrote 8 Psalms during this time. He wrote the Psalm thinking about the faithfulness of God, but at the same time, the lament that he had towards God for this time of difficulty. A very difficult season in David's life. David, as I mentioned before, wrote the Psalm 34, 52, 54, 57, 59, 63, and 142 in this particular time. Why I'm saying all this? Because I believe that what David is going through in this passage is not different from what maybe we can go through in our lives. I believe that this morning somebody is here having the same feeling that maybe David had in this passage. Where you feel in prison, where you feel that no one is able to understand what you are going through, and you are forced to run from your own situation, your own family, your own friend, people that care for you, should care for you, but are in reality not caring for you. And David was in this situation. And let me tell you something, a crisis of faith will come to all of us, at different times in our lives. The problem is this, not if, but when the crisis will come. And in those moments, we need to rely on God. In those moments, we need to make our Lord a refuge and strength. Despite the way that we feel, we should put a strength in God. David wanted what God wanted. He was determined to follow God's direction and will in his life. It's interesting here. This is a real dangerous situation for David. He has the king persecuting him. And it's an extremely important moment because his decision not only can jeopardize his own life, but also the life of the men that were ready to follow him. And I find that many times the decision that we'll make in our lives will impact not only our own lives, but also the life of those who are around us. And we need to make sure that the decision that we are taking is following God's will. Because if we are following God's will, if we are following God's direction in our lives, we will be sure that even if the hard times will come, even if the storm will hit stronger around us, we will be able to stand. We will be able to resist because we know that God is with us. And also in many other passages of the scriptures, servants of God like Moses, before facing a decision that will impact the whole nation, they will inquire the Lord. They sought the will of God and say, Lord, please, if you are not coming with us, we will not move from this encampment. And I believe that God was in the same identical situation. Lord, if you are not with me in what I'm ready to do, I will not do it. And I believe that it's so important for our lives that we consider this truth. So this morning we will learn 2 important lessons from David's life. And I pray that we'll be able to apply on our lives. The first lesson that I want to share with you is this. The decisions we take in difficult time determines how far we go with God. I repeat this. The decisions we take in difficult time determines how far we go with God. Trials are an opportunity for us to experience spiritual growth. I truly believe that. When you don't depend on God, God will allow things that will force you to depend on God. Because He loves us. He cares for us. And because He cares for us, I say, my son, you have to learn in the hard way. And you know why? Because the desire of God is to have our hearts. The book of Proverbs says, through Solomon, my child, give me your heart. You know why? Because if God has in control your heart, He has your life under control. But if your heart is far from Him, you can be a religious person, but in your heart, you will have many thrones. God wants to be the only king of your heart. He also allows those difficult moments in our lives so we can become more sensitive to the need of other people. David became very sensitive to the needs of the city of Keilah. The Bible says that Keilah was just a little town, and the Philistines were taking over all the thresholds and depriving them from the assurance of food for the next months to come. And David heard that, and he said, I want to go to help them. You see, when you are a fugitive, when you are in difficult moment, you become more sensitive to those who are suffering. And I believe that many times we become insensitive and we are not able to sympathize with people who are suffering because we feel secure and we feel trenched in our own comfort and we close ourselves to the need of other people. And the Lord taught that lesson to David. And as soon as David heard that Keilah was under the threat of the Philistines, he said, I want to go. And he spoke with his own man and said, let's go to deliver that. And before doing that, he consulted the Lord and said, God, can I go to attack the Philistines? The Lord said, yes, you can go. You can have your way. But the people around him say, David, if we are persecuting in Judah, in our own land, can you imagine what will happen if we are going to fight the Philistines that are the arch enemies of us? The people around him discouraged from doing something that was good. And David sought God again before engaging himself and his people in the battle. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters in Christ, before we engage ourselves in any battle, even if it is a good battle, we must be sure that God is with us. We must be sure that God is the one that will direct our path. David's assurance was not coming from the support that he had from this mighty man, but came from the assurance that God gave to him. You can rely on the people around you, but your assurance of victory comes always from God. Well, to us, when we place our strength or our security or our assurance in men and not in God, doesn't mean that we have to not trust the people around us, but it means that assurance comes only from God. And I explain to you why. Because many times, even the people around us that are the most close to us, the most faithful to us, can be animated by selfish interests. Those men were valuable men. They were not scared to fight. They were mighty men. If you read the chapter at the end, you will discover that these men were ready to give their lives for David. They were not fearful men. But that moment, they felt that was not the moment to fight the battle. And again, God was there for David. David took the advice of this man. And this here is something that really touched me here. Is David battling between the assurance of God and the inconsistency of his man, the support of his man? And what he does? He did not ignore completely the advice of this man. He took their advice. But again, his assurance was in God. So instead to say, yes, we will not fight the battle, what he does? He goes back to the Lord. He could have even done this. I will ignore you. God spoke to me and that's it. No. A true leader like David felt the necessity to pay attention to his own men, but also to consult God again. And God gave him the assurance to go. I'm glad that we have a God that is so sensitive and is able to quench all the doubts that we may have in our walk with him. And I can tell you this, my brothers and sisters, if today you are here and you have some doubts, if you are here and maybe somebody is discouraging you to do something that God called you to do, and you ask for that confirmation, don't stop because somebody says something to you. Don't stop because somebody try to protect you. What is important is that you have the protection of the Lord over you. And if God says, go to the battle, I will give you the Philistines in your hand, you will go. Doesn't matter. You will go because God is the one that will make the way for you. This is what David learned. David wanted God's direction in his life. He didn't want what he wanted, what his flesh desired. He didn't even want what his friends tell him to do. Simple, he wanted to do what God wanted him to do. And this brings to the second lesson that we could learn this morning. Success or failure is not determined by the quality of our performance, but by the measure of our faith in God. I want to repeat this. Success or failure is not determined by the quality of our performance, but by the measure of our faith. And I believe that we need to consider that truth very, very much. Because in the darkest hour, expect better times. If you have faith. If you look at yourself and you start to complain, then you will determine, oh, man, why all these things happened to me? Why this happened to me again? And I can tell you for personal experience, this past 3-4 months has been very tough for me, for my family in general. Nothing to do with you, church. Other things that happened. You know, and you wonder, Lord, I'm trying to do something good for you. Why all this? Why all these trials? And you know what? God wants your heart. God wants your full control and is testing our faith. And we know that our faith is standing not in something unreliable. Our faith is standing on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when you have faith in Christ, you have hope. Because God is the God of hope. This is what the Bible says. And even in the hopeless situation, we know that we can still have hope in Christ. Because he's the one that will allow us to go through all these fires. And is not based on our performance, but is based on God's help in our lives, on God's presence in our lives. And, you know, David had this great victory. The Lord gave him the Philistines in his hand. He took the livestock under him. And they brought that blessing and shared with the people of Keilah, the inhabitants that were there. And I'm sure that after he experienced that great victory, he will say to himself and to the people around him, oh, now is a time of a tranquility. So we can lower our guards and enjoy the blessings of our victory. But let me tell you something. Most of the time, God tests our faith in the moments after we had experienced a great victory. I see this more and more in the Bible. I see Paul. I see people from the Old Testament, like the prophet Elijah. Remember Elijah? After he defeated the prophets of Baal, And after he had a great victory, he saw the fire coming from heaven and burning the Holocaust. He saw the great victory that God has given to him for 3 years. There was no a drop of rain in the land of Israel. And then after all these victories, what happened? A woman is threatening him of his life. And Elijah goes down in a very deep depression, asking God to take his life because he was not worthy more than his ancestors. God knows if our faith is in him or is based on our performance. And this morning I challenge all of us. Don't base your faith on your performance, on what you are able to do, but base your faith on God. Amen. Base your faith on the power of the Holy Spirit in you, the living God that dwells in your heart. Base your faith on the fact that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is working in your life, and it will protect you, will be your shield, it will be the one that will make the way for you, it will be the one to defend your life. This is what the promise of God's word has given to us. We see here the contrast between somebody that was performing on his own strength and somebody that was performing on God's strength. David and Saul. Look here, both look spiritual. And this is very important to underline. Even the person that based himself on his own ability, performance, looks spiritual. Look at Saul in verse 7 and 8 says, God has given him into my hand, for he has shut himself by entering in a city that had bars and walls. Saul was doing like this. Finally, God gave to me. He cannot escape from the city. I will besiege the city and he will not escape from that. Again, you see, David was seeking God's direction. Saul owned his own will. On his own direction. Without consulting God, he used the name of God, but he didn't consult the name of, the will of God. So he tried to summon all the people able to go to war, to besiege the city of Keilah, and to take over the life of David and his men. You may use the name of God without consulting God. That's what I learned from Saul here, again and again in his life. Saul's problem was that he was relying more in man than in God. Remember when he was supposed to wait for the prophet Samuel to make the sacrifice before the battle? Samuel didn't come on time and he started to make the sacrifice. While because he was impatient, while because he knew in his heart that the strength was coming from Samuel and not from God. And that's why God removed the throne from him. Because Saul never put God as the first king of his heart. David on the opposite side is completely different. He had valuable men. I want to show you that these men were not cowards. These men that were with David were men used to battle. They were mighty men. They were people used to face the enemy. They were people that will not fear death in the battle. So they can rely on their performance. They can use their talents and their skills to defeat and to win the battle, even if the army of Saul was attacking the city. But David taught them a great lesson. We must consult God. He consults God in two different phases. First, he says, is Saul coming down to besiege the city? He's not asking God to remove the danger of the battle. He's asking God, is Saul coming to besiege the city? Many times, when we pray, we are not interested to hear the will of God for our lives. You know what we ask when we pray? Lord, can you remove that danger for me? Can you remove that trial for me? David is teaching something different. He's concentrate to hear from God, to pay attention to his will, not to have removed his life from danger. Amen. You understand what I'm trying to say? The difference? We start to pray and say, Lord, remove that from me. Why? Because our human nature is like that. And you are not the only one. I want to encourage you with that. You know that the same person that we serve prayed like this. Father, if you can, remove this cup from me. And the Gethsemane. Remember that prayer? He prayed in the same way. But then Jesus showed the example. But not my will, but thy will be done. David, after he had the assurance that Saul was coming down to the city, look what he asked again. But those inhabitants will betray me and will give me and my men in Saul's hand. That's an intelligent question that David is asking. You know why? Because David knew the heart of the man. You were expecting something good from these people. You delivered them from the threatened of the Philistines. You delivered them from poverty. You delivered them from death. And you were expecting that maybe they will take your defense at the moment you will need. But the nature of man is such, and no one is offended here because we all are like this. At the moment where your life and my life is the choice, I will choose my life and not yours. Only Jesus chooses our lives and not his own. David knew the danger. And David heard the voice of God saying, you know what? They will surrender to you. So it's time to leave. It's no wonderful what God can do in our lives when we trust him. And we give him room in our lives to let us understand his will, his perfect will. And David didn't fall in desperation. He grew in faith. He grew in his faith. And you know, he learned how to discern the assurance of God in his life. In verse 6, we find that this man, Abiathar, most probably a priest, came down to join David. And it's interesting, Abiathar knew that David was the king of God, chosen by God for the people of Israel. It didn't fall Saul. And what happened? He brings with him the ephod. The ephod was the linen vest that the high priest was supposed to dress while in his office. And he had the breast placed here, and there were 12 stones. And every stone was a tribe of Israel. So every time that he was ministering before God, he was bringing all the tribes, all the people of Israel before the presence of God. And then on top of that stones, there were the Urim and Thummim. We don't know exactly how they were made. We don't have records in the Bible. The Bible is not clear. But God was using the Urim and Thummim to direct his people in particular situations. So David knew that as Abiathar came down and fled from Saul to join him, he knew that help was in the way. David said, yes, Saul will try to come, but I know that God is with me. He sent me a servant. He sent me somebody so I can discern his will. And let me tell you something, even those moments of deep desperation, God has his own way to speak to your heart. And this morning he's doing it through his word. David in the moment didn't judge the event or God's will based on how he was feeling. But he went to look for God's word in his life. And many times, my brothers and sisters, we fail in desperation because we trust our feelings more than we trust the word of God. We go through the emotions of the moment and will not stand on the solid ground of the word of God. David, I'm sure that as a man, felt the danger. He knew that a whole army was coming to take him and to take his life. He knew that those inhabitants that welcome him as a hero and deliverer from the Philistines will be the same people that will deliver in the hands of Saul, betrayed him. So if you were giving in to those feelings, you were already hopeless. You were already without any hope to overcome that dangerous situation. but he learned to overcome his own failings, hearing from the Word of God. And this morning, my friend and my brothers and sisters in Christ, we must learn to hear from the Word of God and not base ourselves only on our feelings and emotions. Feelings are like this, as a roller coaster. You can go down and you can go up in moments, in seconds. But if we trust the unchanging Word of God, we know that we are standing on the solid ground of Jesus Christ. And this is what encourages me in this passage, that David saw God's provision for his life through the Word of God. And I see here, once again, revealed the blessing that we have. As soon as we trust God, we are seeing God disclosing his will. And David left the city. And look here, when you are willing to listen the Word of God, you are also willing to obey the Word of God. David left the comfort of the city for going in the wilderness. This is what the text says. He went every way he could go. Can you imagine? Every way he could go. Caves, maybe mountains, canyons. He went there to find refuge because he knew that God was with him and not in the city. So when we are willing to hear the Word of God, we also are willing to listen and obey the Word of God. And God showed his faithfulness to him. How? The last sentence is amazing. And Saul sought him every day. But listen again. But God did not give him into his hand. God protect always David. Let me tell you this morning, you can have the same experience. Allow God to protect your life as much you are following him, obeying him. When we are disobedient, God's protection is not in us. Not because God doesn't want to protect us, but because we remove ourselves from his word. And because we remove ourselves, we cannot experience his faithfulness and his blessing in our lives. And these are times that are difficult for us. But we need to stand on the unchanging word of God. And these are times where the people of God need to trust God more than everything else. We need to stand on the conviction that comes from the word of God. Because even if we are a minority, God is with us. Can you imagine? David had only 600 men around him. Saul had an whole army against David. You know who was at the end the person that won? David. Why? Because God was with him and not with Saul. So let me conclude with some final application this morning. Now, the first is this. To pray for knowing the will of God is the first step to walk in his will. David, before engaging himself in battle, start to pray. And I'm telling you, church, I'm telling you, men, I'm telling you, women, we need to walk after we pray and not pray after we walk. Amen. The second lesson is very important. Seek God's will in his word. Don't just trust your feelings. And again, I stress this, very important. Just because I'm excited about something doesn't mean that is going to happen. Or just because I don't like doesn't mean that I shouldn't do it. I need to trust God's word. I need to trust not my feelings, but what God has given to me in his word. And last, once you discern God's will, make the choice to act upon it. And I struggle with this. I want to be honest with you. This is the part that I struggle the most. I'm a kind of person that try to have a different option in my life. I'm trying to anticipate things. But when you hear from God and you know that this is the way, you are left without other options. The only options that you have is to obey God's word. And if we miss to obey God's word, we miss his will for our lives. So this morning, my brothers and sisters, let's believe and hope. God will not fail us. God will not fail you. Amen? Can we all stand in the presence of God? I want to encourage some of us. If you feel that the Lord has spoken to your heart through this message, and you feel the need to receive prayer this morning, the altar is open. The altar is open to receive encouragement that comes from God. I don't know what you are going through this moment, and you are facing maybe a situation like David, but be reassured this morning that you can have a way out. God will show His grace and His power, His might, because He's a faithful God. And if maybe it's the case that this morning you still not have committed your life to Christ, the elders are here to pray for you. If you feel in distress this morning, remember what we say in the final application. To pray is the first step to walk in God's will. We serve an amazing God that is able to bring to accomplishment whatever He starts in our life. So I want to close this service with the benediction that we find in Jude. The Word of God says, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." Not just a little bit, exceeding joy. "To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen."